The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither he nor his parents sinned. It is so that the works of God might be made visible through him. We have to do the works of the one who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva and smeared the clay on his eyes and said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back able to see. His neighbors and those who had seen him earlier as a beggar said, "Isn't this the one who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is," but others said, "No, he just looks like him." He said, "I am." So they said to him, "How were your eyes opened?" And he replied, "The man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and told me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went there and washed and was able to see." And they said to him, "Where is he?" And he said, "I don't know." They brought the one who was once blind to the Pharisees. Now Jesus had made clay and opened his eyes on a Sabbath. So then the Pharisees also asked him how he was able to see. He said to them, "He put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and now I can see." So some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a sinful man do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you have to say about him since he opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." Now the Jews did not believe that he had been blind and gained his sight until they summoned the parents of the one who had gained his sight. They asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How does he now see?" His parents answered and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. We do not know how he sees now, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age. He can speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone acknowledged him as the Christ, he would be expelled from the synagogue. For this reason, his parents said, "He is of age, question him." So a second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner." He replied, "If he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know is that I was blind and now I see." So they said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" They ridiculed him and said, "You are that man's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but we do not know where this one is from." The man answered and said to them, "This is what is so amazing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if one is devout and does his will, he listens to him. It is unheard of that anyone ever opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he would not be able to do anything." They answered and said to him, "You were born totally in sin, and you are trying to teach us?" Then they threw him out. When Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, he found him and said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered and said, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "I do believe, Lord," and he worshiped him. Then Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see might see, and those who do see might become blind." Some of the Pharisees who were with him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not also blind, are we?" And Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you are saying, 'We see.' So your sin remains." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We have our second scrutiny this evening. And again, these readings, we always hear them every 3 years, but always connected to the scrutinies. It's long, but some of my favorite readings in Mass, really in all scripture from John's Gospel. But that word scrutiny, we use it sometimes to scrutinize something, to kind of look at something closely or to test it, or one definition was that it's careful or critical examination and inspection of something. And what's going on? Why do we use that word? Someone had asked me, right, this is for those who are going to be baptized at the Easter Vigil on their way to entering the church, receiving the sacraments. And Father, am I going to have to answer some questions as part of this? I have to talk about my life or something? What's being scrutinized here? What's going on? And it's like, good question. Why do we use this word? Because it's a powerful prayer. It's not the sacrament. It's not the Mass. But it's actually part of them is an exorcism, not like in the movies, not that level, but the reality of, and this gets into what why we use this word, what's going on, is it's because of light, and we hear that throughout our readings. Jesus is the light of the world, but the person's life is being brought into the light, and they're being taken, and this will happen in that moment of baptism, out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of God, into the kingdom of light. And in that too, part of that process, that journey, that growing in relationship is they as well are growing and being able to see. To see things as they really are, in some ways for the first time, seeing clearly and in a new way, seeing themselves, seeing who God is. And so we hear, right, Jesus talks about he's the light of the world. He reveals to each of us our own lives. He reveals my life to me. He reveals to me and to each one of us as well who God really is. And even more than that, in doing that, it doesn't come to condemn or to leave us where we are, but to bring us out of darkness into light. And the thing that kind of does that, you might say, is the gift of faith. Without faith, we remain blind. And so all of our readings last week with the woman at the well, and today with the blind man, and next week with the raising of Lazarus are all connected to this. But today it's this reality of blindness, and there's three blindnesses we hear about in this moment in Jesus' life, his ministry from John's Gospel. And the first, of course, is the blind man, the man who was born blind. And it's to maybe pause, make sure we don't skip over the fact that, hey, this is a real healing that took place. And John's claiming that. You know, John's Gospel, this is one of, he doesn't have a lot of miracles. He talks about seven signs in his Gospel, and he goes on at length, like today. And he's got all sorts of details in there, in his accounts of the miracles, the signs of them, again, what we call miracles in the other Gospels, that they're different, they stick out. It's like, well, this isn't like a myth or someone telling a fairy tale or a legend. And sometimes parts of them, and here, say, the Pool of Siloam, there's these kind of physical descriptions of Jerusalem or the place, and even sometimes things that, you know, because throughout church history, at times the actual Jerusalem was like literally buried and inaccessible, and the actual layout was a little bit more lost to history. Sometimes in John's Gospel, as we've read it, you know, people of faith, even in the church, have been like, well, why does he say that? Maybe that's a mistake. Maybe that's a typo, and it doesn't make sense. So, for example, one of the big ones is in the healing of the paralytic at the pool that has, we're told, 5 porticos. 1, 2, 3, 4. Where's 5? How do you get 5? Maybe it's an odd shape. And, well, modern archaeology has shown us, and you can go there now, right where John talks about it. It's 5 porticos, because there's, again, a portico is kind of a covered walk area. There's 4 in the rectangle, and there's 1 right in the middle. It's all of that. Not to belabor the point, is to say what John is sharing is that Jesus really did this. He healed a man born blind. Why? It's not just because, well, he loved that man or to show Jesus' compassion, yes, but precisely in John's gospel so that we would believe, to give us reasons to believe, just like it was for that man born blind and the other people in that situation. And in this instance, why did he heal a man born blind from birth? And why does John include this particular miracle or sign in his gospel? And we say, again, even from what Jesus is talking about here, there's a second blindness. There's that individual man's physical blindness, but God was using him and his situation, as he made clear at the beginning, not because of sin, his sin or his parents' sin, but because of our situation. That we're all born blind, not physical blindness, but you might say spiritual blindness. That's the reality of being born into what we call original sin, right? Not a personal kind of culpability or an act I've done or have done, but because we're separated from God, God who is the light of the world. And to be able to see that Jesus has come to give us sight, that sight that I talked about at the beginning, that's connected to the scrutinies, the light that helps us to see, that takes away our inability to know ourselves, our inability to know God and who he really is, and why we're here, and what we're made for, and as well, to be able to know, right, our need for his mercy. That in our blindness leads us then to sin, and our own personal sins kind of increase that blindness in some way, if you will, or just make it greater. And it's Jesus who takes all of that away. But that leads to the third blindness. And that's the one we hear at the end with the Pharisees. Recognize Jesus and their own sinfulness, their need even for him. And this is, you might say, the worst blindness. The one that, because we fail to recognize it, it stays, you might say. Right? It's worse than physical blindness. It's worse than the blindness of sin in some way. It's its own sin, but it's a rejection. It's a rejection of the truth by the one that's blind. Because again, go back to what Jesus had done. They were present. They were there for what Jesus did to this man. That's not him. Can't be him. He was born blind, that guy that was here. Must be someone that looks like him, because that other guy's blind. No one recovers. It's not like suddenly you can see. That doesn't happen. You say, no, it really is him. Let's make sure. Let's talk to his parents. Let's talk to him. All of that is to be saying that Jesus, as he comes into the world, as the Father sends the Son, and the Son became incarnate, the very world he created, he brings the gift of faith, and it's a real gift given to us, but there are signs. John uses it to help us to believe. And he wants us to pay attention. He wants us to see. And here in this moment, the Pharisees are kind of willfully refusing to see. No, absolutely not. And it's, again, because some of their predetermined notions, which are wrong, too, even from the aspect of their faith, right? They're bringing their Hebrew faith, the God, the one God, which really gave them that faith. They misinterpret it for whatever reason. So now they are willfully, no. You know, sometimes I've come across this more recently than not, but we can sometimes express things in our lives of like, well, this is my truth. And I think sometimes it's expressing, well, this is how I feel about it, or this is how I experience the situation, but sometimes I've seen it in context of like, well, this is what I think reality is. You might think it's different, but this is my truth. Perhaps silly, but a similar example, it's usually not in this context because it's very hard for us to deny these things at this level at least, but who knows? If I said, well, my truth is that motor oil is good for me. Say, well, Father John, it doesn't matter if you think that that's true, it's not. And you're wanting it that way, or you're saying, I'm going to will it that way, doesn't make it so. And so some of that is going on, but the Pharisees are holding on to their own opinion. And so those that know that they are blind and they seek God to be healed by God and they see that in Jesus, right? You say, Jesus is saying those people can actually see. And there's real wisdom there. They understand. But those who think they can see, including themselves, but reject this aspect of being blind and really needing a savior and needing someone to help them to see, then they remain in that blindness. They don't come to Jesus because they don't think he can heal them. And also they don't think they need to be healed to begin with. So that's the one. That's where Jesus says to the Pharisees, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you are saying, we see, and so your sin remains. Meaning, if you were really only blind and kind of ignorant, so to speak, then if you acknowledge this, if you knew this to be true, if you recognize that, yeah, in some way my mind is darkened, and as well there's wounds in my heart, but my heart is open to all that, and as we turn to Jesus, it's all taken away. That's the gift of faith. But, he says, what kind of Pharisees, because you insist that you already see, and that you see that I'm not God or from God, and that you're not sinners, and you have no need of healing or of life, but you think already, hey, we're perfectly wise, and because your hearts remain closed in that way to me, and to your need for me, then your minds too remain closed. You remain blind. You remain in your ignorance and in your foolishness and in your error and in your falsehood and in your pride. And so that's the worst blindness. The other two blindnesses are precisely, we see Jesus removing that blindness of seeing God showing his presence, making it clear in various ways, but refusing. And so again, ignorance isn't sin. And even recognizing one's own sin in the light of Jesus and in the light of his love removes that sin. But it's a willful ignorance, a pride, a stubborn rejection. That's the one that we want to avoid, the one we want to be most attentive to in some way, to know that can happen to all of us, but we don't want it to. I see sometimes going on in the church in kind of a big way, I'm not talking about say our parish in particular, but we can be here in our midst and in our approach. And again, this is something that's actually, it never has been, and it isn't now part of the gift of faith, but it's kind of a mindset, a kind of approach to Jesus that as though there isn't really a lot that I need to ask forgiveness for. Maybe there's a few little things, but deep down, I got things together and I'm doing all right. And I do a few religious things, go to Mass when I can, generous at times, and of course I believe in him, but I'll thank him sometimes for things, and remember to pray when things are going poorly in my life, but of course, we're all going to heaven. I can so easily become like the Pharisees. It's almost like we're treating Jesus like there's nothing that I really need mercy for, like a blindness that I can't change. We've never experienced that. We've never seen that in our own lives. It's to say, take away that blindness, Lord. Because the man who was born blind knew that he was blind. And he knew he couldn't make himself see. And the gift of faith helps us to see our situation, be on our guard against a kind of mindset that's similar to what we see in the Pharisees. Kind of like, Jesus, I got better things than to be with you. I got better things to do. Somehow deep down, I don't really believe that my happiness is spending eternity with you. How could it be? There's so many other better things in my life. fishing or hunting or sports or family or all of these things, wonderful things. But somehow that all of those don't come from Jesus. And I'm not made for Jesus. So today we're reminded, right? The Lord sees into our hearts and he loves us. That's why he made us. And the gift of faith helps us to see not just our brokenness. It helps us to see that. But it helps us to see who God is. See Jesus. Profound love for us, for you, his closeness. How he came to bring this healing and this light. And for us on this Sunday when we are rejoicing in the midst of Lent, to be able to rejoice over that gift. What a gift. All of us are here because you chose to be here. Don't forget to be able to give thanks for the gift of faith. To be able to see that Jesus helps us to see. And he does that because he loves us. He wants to share his life.